Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in on a big Wednesday night. Mike Harmon alongside Dan Beyer, my partner for many a year on Sundays doing fantasy football talk. You hear him weekdays on the Doug Gottlieb Show. And, of course, he and I have reunited for the I Want Your Flex podcast. Smith is off tonight, as you heard him lament the idea of turning 50 last night. It will be a much happier, go-lucky kind of event here for the next 4 hours. I wish him well. I think he's made it through pretty well. I'm set to drop off his present tomorrow. But how you doing, Dan? It's good to be with you.
Did the birthday wish involve the Mets?
Well, he got a $24 million gift today. My man Robinson Cano getting busted for PEDs, season long suspension. It's like, hey, we got money to spend. I don't know that I've ever seen him respond more quickly to a news report concerning one of his teams than, wait, Cano's gone and we get that money back? Oh, what a glorious time.
That would be the greatest birthday wish ever if it did end up coming true. And kudos to Jason Smith if he was able to keep that under wraps, because that is pretty darn impressive. But I do want to say happy birthday to Jason, and can't wait for the next 4 hours. It should be fun tonight.
Good to be with you. We got a lot of good NFL stories on the books. We've got the NBA draft, obviously, and we'll get to that momentarily. The number 3 pick, I think, is the one that has everybody's tongues wagging and have people excited in this process. Some big news earlier as well with Klay Thompson. We'll talk about him and the ramifications, right? Because that quick run-up back to NBA prominence, well, hit the brakes on that one for a moment for the Golden State Warriors. But as we've been tracking, Dan, Anthony Edwards first. You heard Brian Fenley in the update say it. My beloved Chicago Bulls at 4. The Florida State Project, as Brian Fenley's laid it out. Not a starter. Rotations, we know how Florida State ran their minutes, or maybe you don't. I got to watch them a lot here. Why? Because, well, they're in the conference with Smith's team, which meant a lot of watching.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because even last year when the tournament ended up being called off in March, there was more talk about the likes of a Dayton team or a San Diego State team having the ability to win a national championship, when in most years they aren't in that driver's seat position. But now you look back and you see what Florida State had, and you're saying, okay, maybe Florida State's the one who's actually really kicking themselves that there wasn't an NCAA tournament last year. We like to focus on the Aztecs or the Flyers because of the seasons that they had, but yeah, Florida State could have been that team in 2020.
Just the curiosity, and certainly as we watch the draft unfold, I do dig that when we get to LaMelo Ball and going to Charlotte, in the draft review, his team is just USA. So that's good. But going down, you notice that the normal heavyweights in the collegiate ranks aren't there. Cole Anthony at 15 from North Carolina. He's the first of your pedigree programs, really, to get drafted. And he goes to Orlando. Before that, you know, Memphis, Florida State, USC, a couple of international players, Dayton, Maryland, you know, not teams that you normally throw up that quickly in terms of being heavyweights and preparing for the draft. Not the blue blood programs, because we're used to having the seemingly endless parade. I always call it the shark's teeth effect. You know, they take a bite out of you, Dan, the next row come up. And that's been Kentucky for so many years, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, where are they?
Duke too. It really is. And the first 3 picks, it's one of the things that actually stands out to me with those first 3 picks. And I know that there are guys, you mentioned, you know, Cole Anthony ends up going to the Magic, Tyrese Halliburton ends up falling, he goes to Sacramento late in the lottery. But really, this draft, And say what you will about this draft, was about the first 3 picks. That's where it was. And you mentioned LaMelo Ball. And yeah, you're right. I mean, LaMelo Ball we know LaMelo Ball because of LaVar Ball. Like, yeah. That's why we know about LaMelo Ball. We know about James Wiseman mostly because of what happened that didn't allow him to play at Memphis,
right,
and his saga. And Anthony Edwards, we really don't know anything about. We've heard in some of the Fox Sports Radio promos, and what's been talked about a lot over the last 24 hours is his non-love of basketball, but it's not like we were sitting down and even watching Georgia basketball last season. So that's what you get with this. I will say with LaMelo, though, Mike, as you see how the first round has played out, or these first couple of picks, I mean, this was worst case scenario really for LaMelo Ball and for the Ball family, because Minnesota, I know that there was talk about him maybe going number one. I may be the only guy still in the world that likes D'Angelo Russell and thinks that he's valuable, but to me, that's the guy that you would actually want the ball in his hand. So I'm not sure that LaMelo Ball would have fit there. I just never thought that it was going to be that case with him in Golden State. I didn't think that was going to work out. Not that Kobe White is a guy in Chicago that you're moving on from right away, but it's not like, you know, LaVar can force his hand and saying, we're not going to Charlotte because we want to go to Chicago. You're not doing that. So then he ends up going to a team that, yeah, it's owned by Michael Jordan, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find three other teams in the NBA with a lower profile than the Charlotte Hornets.
No, that's it, right?
You know,
go through that roster. You don't have any, certainly, household names at this point in time, right, where you're going through, and maybe if you're a trading card investor, you're excited about the prospects of Devontae Graham and P.J. Washington. Maybe a little bit of Bridges. But beyond that, there's nobody that's getting you excited about the squad, so you get a raise in a profile there, certainly.
Yeah.
And the ties to Jordan means, well, you're going to be front and center in that regard, right? Become an ambassador and such. But going to Chicago, Kobe White didn't really get to play until the final third of the truncated season. And he showed to be a star. So not that you can't move on from that if you decided the marketability was better, but from a straight player spot,
yeah.
I mean, Kobe White is a guy that the city got excited about.
Yeah, and when you look at the pick when it's made, and you have LaMelo going to Charlotte, and I don't want to sit here and rain on the kid's parade because it's the biggest night of his life. It's just more of the overall picture, Mike, where the conversation is not about what LaMelo Ball can do for the Charlotte Hornets to bring them out of NBA purgatory where people actually care about them. By the way, the only other team that I think matters that kind of rivals, but actually I think Charlotte is dead last for the teams that you actually care about in the NBA, because Memphis now has an identity, and I would argue Orlando, but Orlando was a playoff team last year, so you can't sit there and say that. So Charlotte is dead last, but what are we talking about? We're talking about, can LaVar Ball actually play Michael Jordan one-on-one? Like, it's a joke. like it's funny, and it's, you know, hey, LaVar. That's what we are talking about, whereas Anthony Edwards, we're like, okay, well, he goes to Minnesota. Maybe they're trying to put something together. What happens with James Wiseman and Klay Thompson's possible injury? How does that affect the Warriors? But it is also how Wiseman fits in with the Warriors. But all LaMelo Ball's pick for Charlotte is Michael Jordan going to call LaVar on the one-on-one game? Like that to me says a lot more about anything, whether it be with that pick, whether it be with LaMelo as the player, whether it be with Charlotte as the team, or this whole draft as a whole. That's what we have tonight.
Yeah, I take it to what we watched over the course of the weekend, Dan. You know, you're a huge golf fan, so the Masters is your thing, right? You have your ticket set for next year, and hoping to be able to attend, and you know, you celebrate those four rounds. But you have a lot of folks that it's Tiger Woods, right?
Yep.
And maybe a little bit of DeChambeau, and just wondering what that was going to look like this year. Well, both fizzled, so that didn't work. But for this draft, and certainly for Charlotte, it's Michael Jordan still the name, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mentioned a couple of players that you can like and be very curious of what they become and is their potential stardom, but they're not transcendent figures at this point. And in that draft class, they're all fighting for fourth at best, right? Because it's always going to be Zion, Ja, Tyler Hero, and then you've got, it's pretty deep class, but you're just another name at the end of a pretty long list. And you might become something, you know, inside the city. And LaMelo Ball, we've seen enough Zapruder film, right, from high school games, their mutant league that they were working through, and then his work in Australia. And we know he doesn't have any shyness about shooting. That we're well aware of. I take this one for you, though, Dan, because here's a data point you'll love. As of Tuesday, the majority of money being bet on the number one overall picks at the BetMGM, 53.4% was going on LaMelo Ball. And then it swapped in the last 24 hours to where Edwards became the top favorite at minus 250. So a little bit of a shift there. But overall, we didn't know a lot of the names here, and we watch college buckets.
No.
I mean, I'm not claiming to have the toothpicks in my eyes like I'm in Clockwork Orange to sit and watch all this stuff. But you had three or four names that really at the top of the draft was it, right? You mentioned Edwards. You got LaMelo Ball. You had Wiseman, as you said, for what he wasn't able to do in college. And then Obi Toppin was a guy that broke through, right? Because he was a scoring machine. So he got some run in the national media. Beyond that, you might have had your conference guys that you knew, right, and dialed into your teams. But from a nationwide respect, we didn't get the NCAA tournament, which meant these guys didn't get their shining moments to steal and not have to pay $7 for copyright by changing it.
But I also think it says a lot about what the NBA is and where it is as a league. And I think it's such an individual-driven league. And I don't know if it's a problem, Mike, but you look at what has happened over the last couple of weeks, and specifically with what's happened in Houston, and not that Houston is the national brand like the Lakers are or the Celtics where you have fans everywhere, but it's such a player-driven league where, you know, I mean, you know, there's, when you think of the Houston Rockets over the last 30, you know, to 40 years, you think Olajuwon number one, and then I'd say you'd say James Harden number two. That's what you would, that's what you would think of if you're the Houston Rockets. And so, like, James Harden now wants out. And you're like, wait a second. He's the second most recognizable face of that franchise in that history. And you know, and now he just wants to leave because the situation isn't good. And it's such an individual-driven league. And I would say it's the toughest to be a fan of a team in the NBA. I actually feel fortunate being a Bucks fan because they have Giannis, even after the last, you know, it actually wasn't difficult being a Bucks fan for, you know, 20 years because they really weren't that good, but they were who they, you know, they were. But now with the individual player, you know, demanding and trying to change so much, it's tough being a fan, man. And you know,
no, it's the ebb and flow, man. We've talked about it, and it's been that way. I mean, if we really think about it, I guess back to when we were kids is where it really kind of shifted. But it's become more certainly exacerbated in these times. You know, we could do the whole Houston thing later on in the show if you want. There's a lot to unpack about the rumor, conjecture, and speculation related to that. But for this draft, no tournament, the fact that we're in mid-November and you're going opposite Machin, I just don't know how much more you can get, Dan. He's Dan Beyer. He's Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. Welcome in the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Coming up next, one team that thought they were ready for a huge rebound. They got one of the prizes of the draft, but they still have some work to do based on this news. We'll get into that next here on Vox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Get a little bit of a groove going on a Wednesday night. Thanks for hanging out with us, being part of the extended family. We appreciate you here. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Dan Beyer, in for the birthday boy Jason Smith tonight. celebrating his 50th, no doubt, with a giant wheel of cheese as if he were George Costanza in the summer of George. The team is assembled. Bershinger, Alex Teichert, and, of course, Brian Fenley. You'll hear from him in just a couple of minutes. And Justin Frostberg, you know, we're tag-teaming the production and making sure the news and everything keeps flowing, Dan. Earlier today, some huge news for the Golden State Warriors. No, not just that they were able to get James Wiseman and Steph Curry sending out the congratulations and everything else. No, the fact that the Warriors didn't anticipate that today, not only would they have to be pondering, hey, are we trading this pick? Who are we getting? What's going on? That they might actually have to use the pick to draft the replacement for Klay Thompson, who on the comeback trail from an injury, and now the report that he may have torn his right ACL. Still pending. Warriors have said, hey, we acknowledge there's an injury. More information when it's suitable and appropriate. We've got insiders who've come out and talked about the specificity of the injury. But just a huge blow because, as we were talking about, you know, the teams and trying to shuffle the deck and the pecking order in the conferences, the assumption was, all right, Warriors are just going to rally. These guys are going to get healthy. They're going to get the number two overall pick or trade that off for assets, and suddenly they're going to be right back into title contention. Instead, you've got Klay Thompson potentially now lost for another season, and you don't know what Steph Curry is coming back off his injury.
Yeah, and the thing that I have also read about the Klay injury, and I don't want to speculate on injuries, but that some fear it actually could be an Achilles, and which would be absolutely devastating. When they say lower leg injury, like I thought, okay, if he rolled an ankle, Mike, that wouldn't be cause for concern for Woj or Shams to tweet that so you knew it was significant. But I know Warrior fans are hoping for the best, but I'd be really skeptical that you could get good news from something like that. But to your point of what happened tonight, first of all, there was no one in this draft that would make the Warriors change their mind. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. like even if Klay, if they're like, oh geez, it is an Achilles or it is, you know, another knee injury, there is no one in this draft that you would say maybe we should take him instead of James Wiseman. So I think all of that talk was a bunch of BS. But now when you see where the Warriors are, and if Klay is not there, you know, it's another one down for the Los Angeles Lakers, another team they don't have to worry about in the Western Conference. And that's what pops into my mind is, you know, as bad as I feel for Golden State, you're not going to be able to see them go on the redemption tour that they would like if Klay is out for a significant amount of time. But to me, the road just got a lot easier for the Lakers. And there's no way you can rebound this. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is not going to make up for, you know, what you would lose with Klay Thompson. So this is the biggest NBA story of the night, more so than anybody that's taken in the 60 picks in this NBA draft. It's Klay Thompson's possible injury.
No, the reactions to this inside the basketball world and certainly us covering the league and television and radio, this was the story that you were just trying to get more information out, right? Was it a spoof account from one of the insiders, right? So you always have to double check and, you know, dot mm-hmm. the I's and cross the T's to verify. This came down literally as you and I are speaking. Chris Haynes has been on the show a number of times, insider for Yahoo Sports. Yahoo sources, the fear is that Golden State Warriors star Klay Thompson has suffered this significant Achilles injury. Specificity on what you were saying, Dan. MRI scheduled for tomorrow morning. So if you didn't like any of the other insiders, and I know everybody's got their favorite, right? If it doesn't come from Woj or Shams,
yeah,
you know, folks get in a tizzy. Chris Haynes is also a guy that's, you know, got his reputation and got his legs and juice in this business. So that's the latest coming out there. And we'll talk about shuffling the deck chairs in the Western Conference in a moment. Well, with one of our favorite guests, because Dan Wojcicki is going to join us next. But first, we got Brian Fenley.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Play the name game floating around this fun and exciting NBA draft. But first, let's head over to the hotline. Our buddy LA Times basketball scribe, fresh off of his trip to the bubble. He's decompressed and, well, maybe ready to go back in. He's Dan Wojcicki at Dan Wojcicki Sports is where you find him on Twitter. He's debating wine or IPAs tonight, Dan. And he's also asking a lot of questions about crying and maybe crying at over the latest news that we were just talking about. Dan, first we start with what did you choose on the beverage choice? And then Klay Thompson, there's one less team for these L.A. teams to worry about.
Yeah, the Klay news is brutal. As far as beverages go, that's like a post-game. You know, that is an ongoing discussion situation, very live trade talks, much like the number one pick tonight. We're going to go right down to the wire, I think, on that one.
Oh, okay.
But, the Klay news is just brutal, right? Like, this is an organization and a team that's obviously, you know, had a tremendous amount of luck, a tremendous amount of success, and to see it swing so violently in this direction is brutal, right? Like, you just, especially for a guy who spent the last year working his way back from a knee injury, and that's, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what the MRI shows. But, you know, the people I've been talking to, nobody seems overly optimistic.
I know, Dan, I know Vegas had a different idea. Mike mentioned this earlier where it seemed that LaMelo Ball was the odds-on favorite, and then there was a late switch to Anthony Edwards. Were the Timberwolves as torn as maybe Vegas was about number one in reality?
Yeah, you know, I think it was close. I think ultimately, right, like in some ways, I think they had Edwards a little higher on the board. And then also, too, I think it was a matter of a little bit of fit, you know, with D'Angelo Russell, with Karl Anthony Towns and stuff like that. And that's not to say that LaMelo Ball wouldn't be, you know, the right kind of selfless player to kind of go with that stuff. It's just, you know, with D'Angelo Russell, like, that's a guy who needs the ball. And I think taking the ball out of his hands, taking the ball out of Karl Anthony Towns' hands and putting it in the hands of a rookie, to me seems like a little risky. And I think that might have tipped the scales. I mean, you know, I think that I can tell you that they did, you know, really, I mean, they worked the phones till the very last minute on this, you know, had a conditional pick in, but went down to the wire. And I think, you know, they end up with a guy that they feel good about. He makes me a little nervous too, to be totally honest. You know, when you hear about his dietary habits, when you hear him say things like, "Yeah, you know, I really love football. I like basketball, but I really love football." Like, you know, those are things that make me go, "Well, you know, you only get the number one pick so many times." But I think, you know, he's a dynamic athlete. You know, if you want, like, you know, just cue up the highlights from his game at Maui last year against Michigan State, watching him go against a bunch of, you know, NBA caliber athletes and players, and just watching him just tear them apart the second half. He can be special too. So yeah, a really interesting choice at the top of the draft. You know, but ultimately I think, you know, the top three picks went the way that I think I expected them to go, probably back in August when the lottery happened. And that I think that's even kind of how I predicted it then, not to pat myself on the back. I think it was pretty obvious. and you know, it, despite all the chatter, it kind of stayed that course.
And now we have LaMelo Ball gets to go with the biggest brand in the world and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And we get to have some fun, and maybe Charlotte gets a little bit of recognition, at least makes it into the back of the highlight packages, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly, you know, gets them a star powered type player for the first time. I mean, like Kemba Walker, maybe before that, you know.
Go grandmama, go ahead.
Yeah, Larry
go ahead,
Johnson.
Zoe and Larry Johnson. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels like it might be Adam Morrison.
That's just cruel.
You know, but I think it's an exciting. I mean, he's going to get a chance to flourish there. You know, look, when you're picking in the top three, you don't care about fit and stuff like that. The best player on the Hornets last year was Devontae Graham, a point guard. So that in itself will be kind of an interesting sort of. We'll see how that sort of – because, like, one thing I know about Devontae Graham is that dude is tough. Like, that guy will not give an inch. And then, you know, maybe this is a steel sharpened steel type of thing where this elevates both players. But I think LaMelo Ball's going to be thrown into the fire there into a competition. He's going to have to earn his minutes and earn his respect and earn his touches. But certainly, you know, I think from like a branding standpoint, from all of that stuff, like a home run for the Hornets, they get a guy who, you know, some scouts just, I mean, look, like there's a lot of noise with LaMelo Ball and stuff like that on a lot of different fronts. But he's definitely a guy that he's definitely a guy that I think, like, people think he's the most talented player in the draft, right? Like, it's worth it. It's not all hype, right? Like, there's real substance there, and I think he'll get an opportunity to show it there.
And, Dan, trust me, I am going to hate myself for asking this question because it's not his night, it's his son's night. But do you think LeVar learned anything? Like, because it does seem like we're hearing less from him, which is, I think, you know, darn near impossible to do. The guy just always talked. Yeah. Maybe the only way you could go was down. But it does seem like we've heard less from him. Do you think he learned a bit of a lesson with Lonzo and how everything played out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I think that, you know, if a microphone finds its way in front of LeVar Ball, like, he's still going to do what he does. But, you know, I mean, one thing, I'll say this, and I may end up writing this, who knows, is sitting there and watching, you know, all these players be with their families and stuff like that. Like, you do see how important, I mean, obviously, right, like, the roles that these people have played in these young men's lives. And look, man, LeVar Ball can say whatever he wants right now, right? He you know, he had two kids drafted in the top three of the NBA draft, you know, a pair of brothers that he raised, that he helped introduce the game to, you know, and it was an unorthodox way, and he did it with unorthodox sort of methods. But certainly in terms of results, you know, it's like, it's very Archie Manning of him. You know,
sure.
Like,
sure.
It really is. It's pretty incredible.
Dan Wojcicki, our guest, NBA writer of the Los Angeles Times. You'll see his draft recap article in the paper tomorrow at Dan Wojcicki Sports, where you find him on Twitter. Joins us to talk all things NBA and IPAs and all of that fun as the season rolls. And we're getting right back into a new one here in just a couple of weeks here, Dan. One guy I think we had on the radar just because of the path he chose, RJ Hampton.
Yeah.
Ends up going 24th, has already been dealt, and his rights moving about. But a guy that bet on himself, and at least in the moment, he's just got to say, you know what, I took my shot. Still a first-round pick, but perhaps the traditional route would have served him better.
Yeah, hard to know, right? Like, in terms of, I mean, I think, I mean, he was a guy that was on some draft boards, you know, up around 10, 11. Like, he had a pretty high range in this draft, and I think, you know, there were a couple of surprises, a couple of people who rose. I mean, right, like, the big lesson tonight is, like, you know, shoot your jumpers. That shooting is a skill that has been incredibly valued,
sure,
in this league, and it continues to be so. But I think, you know, RJ, he goes to a good situation. As a 19-year-old person, he's going to go to Denver, and he's not going to play. And he might not like that. You know, his family might not like that. I think the scene in that living room looked very 2020.
Sure.
Just a bunch of somber people. There was some hat throwing, you know, and a pick that's going to get moved around a bunch. But I think it's going to be a really good situation. I mean, that's a, you know, in addition to the great players they already have, they have a terrific developmental staff in Denver. It's a, you know, obviously it's a really good city. And then I think, you know, you're going to be a guy that's going to work with Michael Porter, and you're going to work with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic and Bol Bol. And it's like they have kind of an interesting sort of like second wave of talent to kind of follow what's already a, you know, a conference finalist. It's a good situation for him.
This Bogdan Bogdanovic deal with the trade to the, yeah, Bucks, is there something to this? Was he not involved? Is this him trying to maybe cover the Bucks side with tampering? But what is to this story?
It doesn't seem like – I mean, it doesn't seem like this is going to happen at this point. It seems like he's going to go into free agency. You know, I would expect Atlanta to be a team that is very interested in him. You know, in free agency, they have a lot of cap room. They've been linked to virtually every available guard, from Rajon Rondo to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But, yeah, I mean, this definitely seems like a cart before the horse sort of moment, which is always embarrassing for the teams involved, both ends. You know, I think we'll unpack what happened here, Over the next few days, we'll figure out if maybe somebody called Bojan Bogdanovic by mistake instead of Bogdan Bogdanovic. That could be on the table. It's happened before in the NBA. It wouldn't be the first time. The famed Dylan Brooks Memphis to Phoenix trade that didn't get done because it was the wrong Brooks.
Brooks was here. Yeah.
Wait till the Timberwolves find out they took the ER doctor. You know, like that's going to be something else.
Hey. Star of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah,
correct.
As well.
Absolutely.
I think it's messy. I don't think it ultimately affects a ton of what the Bucks are going to accomplish here in the next few days, or the next week or so, which it seems like they're going to get Giannis Antetokounmpo to sign that 5-year Supermax, which should give everybody in Milwaukee a chance to take a deep breath and relax just a little bit. But I think it doesn't look great. I will say this. They were trading Dante DiVincenzo in that deal. I actually really like Dante DiVincenzo, too. And if, we saw what happened in the World Series, right, with a botched deal that didn't end up finishing. We saw how important Jock Peterson was in the postseason for a team that tried to trade him. I wonder if the Bucks can get something similar out of Dante, the big ragu, as they call him, inside the bubble.
You are the president of the DiVincenzo fan club and have been for many years here at Fox Sports Radio. Dan, thanks for taking the time out of the draft with us. Good luck on the ongoing discussion of beers and wines. I'll check in with you later to see how far along you are and whether your thoughts on any of these players have changed.
Well, if it goes well, I won't answer the phone. So,
good man. Well, that's how I know it'll be a good night. And raise one up for Smith's birthday while we're at it. Thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, take care.
Be good. At Dan Wojcicki Sports is where you find him on Twitter. The LA Times, where he plies his trade and joins us all the time. Good friend of the show. He's Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part's going to be figuring out which way is easier. Coming up next, you've heard a couple of the names. And that's really what we want to do. We want to highlight the stars of this year's draft, and we'll do it in a unique gamesmanship type way. Next here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Beyer in for the birthday boy, Jason Smith, tonight. You can send Jason love or derision at How About a Fresca. Find Dan, send him nothing but love at Dan Beyer on Fox. Ask him about the Bucks trades. Ask him fantasy football questions. Ponder the meaning of life with Dan Beyer on that channel. Find me over at Swollen Dome as well. You can hear Dan every day as part of the Doug Gottlieb show here from 12 to 3 Pacific here on Fox Sports Radio as well. And then 2 to 5 Pacific on Sundays alongside George Reister, Red Zone Radio, each and every week that we have. But now, Dan, as we are wont to do, next hour, don't worry, folks. You know, when Dan and I get together, there's always a scintillating edition of the feud. Right? Just simply the feud will be part of the mix. But I thought it'd be fun to go through some of the names of the draft as well and see if we could hit on making connections between sports, television, movies, kind of like we did with Dan Wojcicki just a few minutes ago. Right? So we have the obvious one that off the start where you have Revenge of the Nerds, you have ER, you could have gone with lead actor from Pet Sematary 2. Giving you Anthony Edwards out of Georgia, 19 points per game, 50% from the field last year. Some room to improve in terms of his three-point accuracy. But we're going to bring in the crew now. We've got Ryan Bershinger in the one chair. We've got Alex Tyshirt on the wheels of steel. And, of course, Brian Fenley over in the update studios. So, guys, let's play a little bit of a game here with some of the great names that are rolling through. And Fenley, I'm going to start with you, okay?
All right.
Schwarzenegger villain from The Running Man. Nicely done. The answer is no. Now, I know Bershinger watches some films. Tyshirt, it's not really a sports clue, so maybe he could run down this.
So he's in the running.
He's in the running.
Saying.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's do this!
All right, so the character was played by Richard Dawson, former game show host. Dan, does that mean anything to you?
The are we still on the Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Okay. He was played by Richard Dawson. No, that does nothing. Nothing for me.
All right, because Richard Dawson, well, was the host of The Feud.
Original Family Feud, yeah.
Bursch, any guess on this particular player and the name that I'm looking for?
Robert Woodard.
Nicely done, but no. Tyshirt, if you can hit the sounder of the sound that we rolled in.
Killian.
Killian. Oh.
And then he yells, only in a rerun. Killian Hayes, one of the international players up on the draft board this year's. All right. Dan, you get to go first pick for this one. Ready?
Yes.
Name you may know, just simply, Sir Alec Guinness played this character and regretted his decision back for A New Hope.
Patrick Williams.
No.
Oh.
Bursch wants to steal this.
All right.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh. Correct. Obi Toppin from Dayton.
Jeez.
All right, Tyshirt, you're up.
Gronkowski.
No, Gronk.
Oh, my bad.
That'll live in infamy on the show, Dan. The legendary Gronkowski. All right, blank. This is from a song. Ready? Blank, only fools rush in. Blank, say, only fools rush in.
I'm going to go with Wise Men there.
Nicely done.
All right.
It was either that or the three guys celebrated at the holidays. Figuring we could get the Wise Men. All right, let's go back to Brian Fenley, see if he can come up with this one.
Hey.
Yeah, welcome back in. The surname of the actor who played Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes.
Precious?
No.
Oh, that was precious? Cute.
Nice guess.
Oh.
Bursch for the steal.
Malachi.
Nicely done. He's the pick. Point guard out of San Diego State, but no. Here,
okay.
Opportunity to steal, Dan.
Yeah, so it's. Can you repeat the question? I just want to make sure that I go the right direction.
The surname of the actor who played Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes.
Conrad.
Surname, Conrad Bain. That's it. Desmond Bain, 6'6", out of TCU. All right. See? All right.
Conrad Bain.
All right, this is one I think Tyshirt could get. Ready?
Gronkowski.
Former NFL cornerback peanut.
Oh, Tillman.
Nice. Xavier Tillman. It was either that or I was going to go Professor Charles Blank. So, Xavier Tillman, 6'8", from Michigan State. How about last one? Dan, this comes back to you.
All right.
All right. See if we can seal this off with one more win. The greatest football player of all time.
The greatest football player of all time. Okay.
Tom Brady could do that.
See, I was wondering if there was a twist. I'm going to say Walter Payton Pritchard.
Look at you.
Yeah.
That's a man
gotta
who knows his co-host.
Got to know the game. Got to know the
nicely
game.
Nicely done, boys. We did pretty well on that. It was a first iteration. We could continue to workshop that one, find some more sound drops, whatever. But I think that worked out pretty well. Good job, Fenley, Tyshirt, Bursch, and, of course, Dan Beyer finishing it up. Payton Pritchard, a 20-point-a-game scorer for those Oregon Ducks, got drafted 26 to Boston. So fun stuff. Boom. As we get towards the end of the first round of the draft. Coming up next, we will continue our talk with the NFL and Doug Peterson and something he doesn't regret doing.